Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Turn your Bibles to John chapter 18, Pilate's plight. As I said last week, we're going to be finishing the Gospel of John, studying the various characters here at the end. But I want to mention a couple of things real quick here. Number one, our family, we read this book, Drowning in Screen Time. Very interesting book of the influence of the I generation, and that's the people that grew up with the iPhone, and how much that is affecting teenagers and society. Also gives you some practical applications as a family. What to do, how to control screen time. We actually read this together. Well worth reading. I also want to mention, when you write the cards, pray for the person. Pray for the teachers. As you're writing these, try to think something original and just heartfelt. Hey, we at Faith Baptist Church, or I personally, we're praying for you. We know it's been a difficult year dealing with COVID, trying to keep kids connected on Zoom. I think all the parents should get a card too. It's been difficult just this year that we've gone through, and so we're trying to do something. I think we're going to be sending out over 600. So I have 10. I'm doing 10 this week. So that's your challenge. It won't take you that long. Just shut your screen off for a little bit, and you can do these. You can laugh at that, okay? All right. So those are the two things I wanted to mention quickly. John chapter 18, Pilate's plight. Pontius Pilate was agitated because of the Passover. And every Passover, thousands and thousands of Jews would come into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And Pilate, as the Roman governor, as the person in charge, had to balance the Jewish interest with the Roman interest. And there was, of course, the Jews were known as a rebellious people because they were in charge at one time under Solomon's kingdom, and all those years of the kings ruling from Jerusalem. But finally, the Babylonians came, and since then, the Jews have wanted to gain back power, but the Romans were in power. And so as this Passover was coming, Pilate was in a difficult situation. How was his relationship going to be with the high priest? What was going to happen? Was there going to be another uprising? What were the Jews going to do? What was going to happen? So he comes into a week full of tension. Plus, there is this Jesus thing. And I'm sure Pilate knew who Jesus was, had heard about Jesus, had heard about the miracles of Jesus. And Pilate was kind of a self-made man. It's kind of man that grew up, rose up through the ranks, and obtained this position that helped him become better off financially. He had a status position. In fact, during this time, he made peace with Herod. And I think in Pilate's mind, he wanted this just to be over. He wanted this just to pass. Just get it over. And he was confronted, not because he was seeking it out, not because he wanted to. He was confronted with Jesus. What was he going to do with Jesus? And Pontius Pilate, I think in many ways, kind of represents the modern American, or maybe the modern middle class in all the world today. Because most people aren't seeking Jesus, even though the numbers swell in Easter, and that's a Western thing. That doesn't happen in a lot of countries, and that doesn't happen on the West Coast. As you read church statistics and polls, these traditions are waning, and so Pilate was a typical American, was just, leave me alone. Like, I have my stability, I have my job, I have my house, I have my toys, I have everything. I don't want to think about the Jesus question. You can be religious, or you don't, I believe in God, or I'm a good person, and I send my kids to college, but I don't want to deal with Jesus. And I think that's why maybe some people sympathize with Pontius Pilate, because he's kind of like us in many ways. He's educated, he's a professional, he seemed like he wanted to be fair, he doesn't seem like a radical or a psychopath. Or somebody that's out for blood. He seemed like just a normal guy. And it describes a lot of people today. And so Pilate is going to try to balance the religious life and the political life and Roman law and Jewish law. But today he's going to be forced, as everyone will be forced, to make a decision about who Jesus is. Notice verse 31. We're going to be jumping around, but just keep your Bible open. Verse 31 of John 18 says this: "Then Pilate said to them, 'You take him and judge him according to your law.' Therefore the Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put him to death.'" He didn't want to be bothered. He said, "You guys do it." And they said, they came to Jesus, they came to Pilate, so we can't execute him. We want him executed according to our law. And so as we come to Pilate, we're going to see two positive things about Pilate and three mistakes or three bad things about Pilate as he is going to be confronted with Jesus. Now notice first of all, the good thing about Pilate, he knew Jesus was the king of the Jews. Notice verse 33. "Then Pilate entered the praetorium," or the judgment hall again, "called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?'" Now he wanted to balance, okay, was Jesus a political figure? Was he a threat to the Roman government? Or was this just a religious problem of the Jews? And so if it was a religious problem of the Jews, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. But if it was a threat to Caesar and Rome, he better do something about it, because they'll do something about him. So he was in a very precarious situation. And so he had to determine, all right, what is this? Are you Jesus? Isn't this ironic that man is standing in judgment of the Son of God? It's such an ironic scene before us here. And notice what Jesus did. This is classic Jesus. Jesus answered him, verse 34, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" You know what Jesus is doing? He's saying to Pilate, it's not a religious issue, not a political issue. It's a personal issue. It's personal to you. You see, others can't decide for you. You can't be part of a group and say, "I'm a Christian." What do you believe about Jesus? Pilate, how do you understand this? Is this what your counselors told you? Is this what you have heard? Is this what the high priest said? Or is this something that you thought of yourself? And I think this morning, a challenge to our young people that grow up in the church: have you thought about these issues for yourself, not just what your parents say? And notice what Pilate said. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me." And notice what Pilate said. What have you done? That's all he wants to. He doesn't really care about who Jesus is. He wants to know, what have you done? Notice what Jesus said. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So Jesus is saying, yes, I am a king, but I'm not an earthly king. And Pilate said in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So Pilate ended up writing on the cross. What did he write on the top of the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. What did the high priest say? Take it down. So Pilate, in a way, God uses, by the way, they did find Pilate's stone in 1967 and confirm he was a real person. We knew that from the Bible, but again, an example how archaeological evidence shows that the Bible is true. And so Pilate said he is the king of the Jews. But he is not just the king of the Jews, is he? He is the king of kings and lord of lords. He is the king of the universe. He is the king, whatever is beyond the universe. He is the ultimate king of kings. And here is a Roman governor judging. Think about this. The king of the universe. So Pilate declared and confirmed that Jesus was the king of the Jews. And the second thing Pilate did is that he declared that Jesus was innocent. And it's interesting that Pilate's name is mentioned in the Apostle Creed and the Nicene Creed for what he did recognizing who Jesus is. But three verses here in chapter 18, verse 38 says this. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. So there's a declaration, I find no fault. Verse 4 of chapter 19, Pilate went out again and said to them, behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Now he beat Jesus. He was hoping that this would satisfy the Jews. He knew it was out of jealousy and envy and hatred and a threat to the religious establishment. And Pilate was delaying this judgment because he knew Jesus was innocent. There were no charges that were valid against Jesus. And then again in verse 12, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. Now, I believe it's in Matthew, his wife sent him a message. And what was that message? Anybody? Have nothing to do with him. Now, if your wife sends you a message, that's like the Holy Spirit speaking from heaven. And like Pilate, us men still ignore it, right? So Pilate, in verse 12, Pilate sought to release him. And so Pilate's plight, he was in this place where, what am I going to do? How am I going to decide? This innocent man, but the Jews want him crucified. What am I going to do? What decision will I make? And he was hoping by not making an immediate decision that somehow the Jews would be pacified and renounce their calling for his crucifixion. So two things that Pilate did confirmed Jesus as the king of the Jews and that he was innocent. But three bad things about Jesus, about Pilate, excuse me. And the first one is this. Pilate believed that the truth, now I've used the word malleable, And that word means capable of being shaped or formed by hammering or pressure, easily controlled or influenced, able to adjust to changing circumstances, adaptable, capable of being changed. And verses 37 and 38 again, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Are you then the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You said rightly, for I am the king. I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come to the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." Then Jesus makes this statement. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And a classic statement that we've all heard before, and we still hear today, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." So Pilate makes this statement, "What is truth?" And we're dealing with the same question today, are we not? What is truth? What is truth? What is the truth? Pilate, like many people today, think truth is malleable or adaptable or changing. Now, we know that truth is divine, truth is absolute, truth is singular, truth is objective, truth is immutable, truth is authoritative. The Bible says the word truth, it means something that is absolute, something is authoritative. But when we say truth today, we say it in a different way. Now, here's a book that talks about truth. Mama Bear Apologetics. We're going to be doing a class. Somebody's going to be doing a class on this soon. Here's some things to look out for. Use "I feel" instead of "I think." That's what some people say about truth. They believe that truth, that it's okay for truth to be relative. What is truth? Beware of this. What is true for you may not be true for me. Now think about that. And I hate to use this illustration again, but I've done it so many times. You know, if you want to say there's no power in that outlet, that may be true for you until you put your fingers in it. I am the only one who can determine my truth. That's what you hear today. How can that be truth? Making my own choices is the biggest priority. Don't force your truth on me. How many have heard that? Don't force your truth on me. Or love is love. In other words, for all kinds of immorality today, what the Bible says is immoral, we say love is love. In fact, there was somebody on the justifying perversion puts out on Facebook, you know, love is the greatest commandment. But we know we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. So Pilate's relativism, Pilate's malleable truth, the truth was going to be forced to fit his narrative. The truth doesn't fit your narrative. The truth is the truth. And Pilate, instead of trying to investigate the truth, right, and trying to seek out the truth, that's what happens to a lot of people. That's why I say Pilate's like us. You say a truth claim to somebody, and they, what do they want? What do they say? "Leave me alone. Don't confuse me with the facts." They don't want to consider. And of course, we know Satan blinds people, and we know that there's spiritual forces of darkness. And Pilate's a Roman governor, so he's in what I would say a satanic position, because Satan is the ruler, the god of this world that rules the principalities and powers. And so Pilate's in that very difficult position. And so he says the truth is malleable. It's not. Then the second thing Pilate believed. Pilate believed the illusion that he was in charge. Look at verse 10 of chapter 19. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" That's a bold statement. Again, this is almost comical, right? Here is Pilate, the Roman government. Here is the creator of the universe. And Pilate is saying, "Don't you know I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You can have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin." I just want to say, Pilate, you little man, you think you're so powerful. But how many of us think we're in control? How do you react when you feel you're not in control? How much do you strive to keep in control? And how much are you really in control? A lot less than you think. A lot less than you think. There's only one in control, and that's God himself. And it's illusion to think we're in control. You hear about people that they're controlling. No, they're delusional. You can't control people. I can't even control my kids. Circumstances, our health, there's one who is in control. And then finally, Pilate believed that compromising the truth would bring him peace. He wanted to sound perfectly justifiable. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." Ooh. Isn't that the pressure we face? That's the world system. Whether you're at work, whether you're at school, isn't there like a party line that you have to submit to? It's been exasperated today. We talk about the woke culture and the cancel culture. And if you say anything that's contrary to the party line or to the societal standards that we've set up that are ever changing, they talk about, I read an article the other day that talked about that years ago, the teachers were afraid to offend the parents. They wanted to make sure what they were teaching was not offending the parents. But today, the parents are afraid to confront the teachers. They're afraid to go in the school and say, "You're teaching what?" And yet we swallow it. And maybe more of us need to just stand up and say, "You're teaching what?" I'll just confess this morning that when Joe started Enfield High School with a Zoom, and I was there in the class, and first lesson, teaching all the different pronouns. And I regret that I didn't call the school that day. I should have called the school that day. I said, "What are you teaching? What? This is science? What is this?" But now we're afraid. Maybe we'll get banned on Facebook. Maybe we'll get canceled. And so the whole thing is turned around. And Pilate was ready to let Jesus go, but he made the worst mistake of his life, didn't he? You're not Caesar's friend, Pilate. When Caesar finds out that you've let this king live, he's coming for you. His job was on the line. His reputation is on the line. His friends were on the line. Listen, this is for all of us, but I want to say especially for the young people, mark it down. When you do what you know is wrong because of pressure from other people, you'll make a mistake. And how many decisions do we make because of pressure from other people? And we know in our heart it's not right. Talk about a bad day for Pilate. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 16. Think about that. That Pilate, what a day, what a mistake. But if your life isn't grounded in truth, that's why I brought this book when Crystal does this class. Parents, you need to be there for this class. This confronts all of the untruths. Consumerism, I'm spiritual, I'm religious. Just worship something, follow your heart, it never lies. You're wrong to tell me I'm wrong. All of these things that are have infiltrated us. Because as I read this book, I saw myself in here. How much we're influenced. When you watch a movie, sit down and watch, if you watch a movie. You're all Christians, you don't watch movies. But when you watch a movie, look for the messages. They're there. They're there. And then point them out. Did you get that? Did you see that? Pantheism and pluralism and wrong views of sexuality and all kinds of stuff. It's in there. Just look at it. That's what happens. He said, how could Pilate condemn Jesus? Because he didn't have the truth as his moral foundation. And political expedience was much more convenient than actually making a decision. But in the end, it doesn't bring peace. Do you think Pilate had peace? Do you think when he heard about Jesus being raised to the from the dead? Now, they're not sure what happened to Pilate. Some people say he committed suicide. One of the Eastern Orthodox churches say he was converted and they've made him a saint. We don't know what happened, but I know this. He sure didn't have peace. And when you make a wrong decision, and I guess the other thing is, even when we have our lives based on truth, we still make wrong decisions, don't we? Listen, don't deceive yourself. You're not in control. See, when we make wrong decisions, we say, well, I'm in control. So Jesus went to the cross and was crucified for us. And Pilate's life, Pilate's actions are a testimony to us today to worship the king and to trust the truth. And don't believe we're in control. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Don't think that moral compromises or truth compromises will bring you peace and will avoid the confrontation. They never will. But that's why Jesus went to the cross, right? Because he knew our weaknesses, and he knew our failings, and he knew our mistakes. And he went to the cross for Pilate, and he said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do." And he still saved the thief that was next to him when he said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." The amazing grace of God, which we sang about, that in spite of all this, in spite of maybe you've made a moral compromise, maybe you've been sucked into the claim that truth is malleable, that God didn't really say that. Or maybe you've made those mistakes. That's why Christ went to the cross. And as we look at this scene, as we see the King of Kings, wonder if you were down here. Here's Jesus down here, and there's Pilate up here saying, "I'm condemning you to the cross." And Jesus could have, and he said to Pilate, "I can call 10,000 legions of angels right here. You're not, it's not in your hands. But if it was in my hands, I might have called those 10,000 legions of angels. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, that you would endure such mistreatment by the hands of men, by men who were politically motivated, who were fearful of their losing their positions, who wanted to make the truth fit their narrative. And yet, Lord, in your mercy, you went to the cross for us. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you, we thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, today to learn these lessons from Pilate, that we'd never be in a situation like this where we weren't grounded by our convictions of your truth. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You come if God's spoken to your heart this morning.